Our Advent theme this year was preparing the way, and it has helped us to think through how we can prepare our minds, our hearts, and our lives for the coming of Jesus. Tonight, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. Our scripture reflects that into a busy world he was born, and there is no room found for him. Our prayers at our hearts and our homes and our lives and our church will have room for him. Samantha, would you come and read tonight's scripture reading?
Good evening. Before I read tonight's scripture, let's pray. God of glory, we praise you for making your word become flesh and dwelling among us. Open our hearts and minds to fully accept and appreciate the gift you've given us in your Son's birth, death, and resurrection. Fill us with your Spirit so that we can share his grace and truth to others throughout the world. In Jesus' name, I pray. Tonight's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius, governor of Syria, was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Samantha. Well, when we are expecting company, we prepare room for them, right? We set enough seats at the table. We prepare maybe a guest room with clean bed sheets and fresh towels for them. We buy and prepare the food expecting them. But when unexpected guests come, well, we just do the best we can. When Jesus came into the world, he caught some by surprise. They thought he was inconvenient. Others dismissed him as not worthy of room. And others received him with joy. What about us? Will we prepare room for him in our hearts? My outline this evening, there we are, is prepare him room. A census is ordered. We're going to look at the things that were outside of Mary and Joseph's control, but where God was preparing a place for Jesus. Prepare him room, laid in the manger. And then prepare him room, wrapped in swaddling cloths. So first, prepare him room. The census ordered, how God used world events. The superpower of the day was Caesar Augustus. He ruled the vast Roman Empire for 57 years. He was the grandnephew and also adopted son of Julius Caesar. He was brilliant, shrewd, and a ruthless politician. And he was able to vastly improve the Roman Empire. He stabilized the economy. He did much to re-energize the agricultural industry. He himself was very good at fruit trees. His favorite was figs, which is also his downfall, interestingly enough. He boasted that when he arrived in Rome, it was built out of wood and bricks, and when he left, it was built of marble. His rule was peaceful, and he consolidated the power. So as political authorities do, he ordered a census that affected the whole Roman world, every district of his vast empire, up in Europe, in Asia, in North Africa. They had to provide an accurate headcount so that they could determine the taxes. Neither Caesar nor the Roman Empire understood that it was God who was using the census to change the world. For it would record the addition of one child named Jesus to the household of Joseph, born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph could not control Caesar's orders. They may have thought it odd that they had to, at this time in their lives, go to Bethlehem. They might have thought it inconvenient. The world itself, I'm sure, groaned with the expectation of a census. But God was shaping the world events to create the perfect place and time for a Savior of the whole world to be born. God's hand of control was over the decisions of the ruler. It also said that Joseph was of those house in the line of David. Something else that he had no control over. It might have just seemed like an interesting footnote in genealogical history. And yet, here once again, it is critical to God's sovereign plan. He had promised that the future son of would be a son of David, that he would be a great king and would come from Bethlehem. And that's exactly what happened. God was preparing room for the greatest birth of history, not in a grand showcasing way, but through inconvenient means. Did you know that God can orchestrate the most beautiful events using something as despised as a census in order for taxation? I was thinking about taxation and how most people don't like it too much, especially here in America. You remember the Boston Tea Party was over taxes. They didn't want taxation without representation. And same thing here in Judea. The land would have been in a rage and a fury. It would have been boiling under the collar that some foreign superpower way off in distant Rome who had nothing to do with them would order them to have a census in order to tax them. And they would do it through the strong arm of the law. There are even records of these censuses that were taken during Caesar Augustus's time, and sometimes whole villages would band together and move trying to keep away from the tax collectors. They did not like it. But think about this event from Mary and Joseph's perspective. They had to leave their home. They had to make a journey. We know that part. But they also left their work, their friends, any comforts they had accumulated for a life together and growing a family, all because the government forced them to go to Bethlehem. They were feeling hot under the collar, I'm sure. And Mary, was she 9 months pregnant? Was she 8 months? We don't know. But we know that while she was in Bethlehem, the time came for that baby to be born. The journey itself was 70 to 80 miles, a significant journey in those days. This was not some weekend trip. This census would take a long time. They were likely in Bethlehem for years, and they did not know when or if they would ever return to Nazareth. This was not how Mary and Joseph expected things to go, but they trusted God and watched as he moved world events to bring them where the Almighty had prepared for the birth of his son. Friends, sometimes we worry about controlling things that we just have no control over. Find comfort that God is in control of all things. Let him worry about fulfilling his promises, and let us simply trust and obey however he leads us. God was preparing room in the world for the promised Messiah to be born at the right time in the right place. He even used government orders to accomplish his grand design. Let us worship the God who uses people unknowingly to prepare room for Jesus. Second, preparing room laid in a manger. The birth of Jesus was in humility. There was no bassinet for him to be laid in, only a feed trough. Now, I am of the opinion that the Holy Family was staying in an ancient split-level home with relatives, where the upper level would have been used for the kitchen and the bedrooms, and the lower entry level would be where they would keep their sheep and maybe a cow or something. And so I think they were staying in this kind of situation. And the guest room was already filled. You remember the census made everybody return to their hometown. So there's an influx of people into tiny Bethlehem. And some other relatives must have arrived first and gotten the guest room. And that put the host at a bit of a pickle when Mary and Joseph showed up also wanting room. And I don't know what the scenario was, if it was just that the other family got there first and was already occupying the guest room, or maybe they had seniority and had priority for that. But whatever the situation, they were given the second best, maybe not even the second best, maybe just the leftovers. This is what we can give. Now, I do realize that is my interpretation of events, and there are ancient traditions that say that Jesus was actually born in a cave. Some of those historical records go back to the second century. But nevertheless, if he was born in a cave or in the animal area of the home, however it was, he was not given the best. He was not given even the second best. He was just given whatever no one else wanted. So here he was, born in a barn. Not an ideal place to give birth, not an ideal place for comfort either. Yet here the Messiah arrived in the world. Did you notice who did not prepare room for Jesus in this story? The host of the home. He was likely a relative of Joseph's, but he did not allow Jesus to be born in a proper guest room. Perhaps there was even some judgment on Joseph and Mary. From all our perspective, they were having a child out of wedlock, and that was a deep shame upon them. So maybe there was even some judgment upon them. But I wonder about that family that hosted, was sought to be the host for Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus, or maybe even the relatives who were staying in that guest room. Did they start connecting the dots about what was actually happening? How could they not? I mean, unless they slept through the shepherd's arrival, unless they just turned a blind eye to three kings coming with gifts, if they put their head in a pillow for the next 30 years and ignored the miracles that Jesus would do, if they tuned out the news of his crucifixion and resurrection. But I hope that they did start putting things together. And what would they have realized? That they did not give their best. They did not make room for the king. They did not make room for the Messiah, their Messiah. They let him be born in humility. But I want to focus on our story. I want to say, is there room in our lives for Jesus? Like Bethlehem, our schedules and minds and hearts can be filled with good things, important things, but that leave no room for a Savior to take up residence in our lives. Could it be that we have no room for Jesus because our hearts are not looking for him? Are we captivated by the world around us that we miss him because he comes as a social outcast or in poverty? Could it be that we have no room for Jesus because our minds are preoccupied with advancement, with a good, comfortable life? And this is a humble birth. We don't want to waste our time on something so lowly. We're pressing on to more important ventures. Could it be that our lives have no room for Jesus because we don't want him to make a change? We know that if we make room for Jesus in our life, he's going to clean out the sin that we enjoy, that he's going to rearrange our priorities and our comfortable patterns. No room. What a powerful reality for Joseph and Mary, but also a powerful metaphor for us. Christ came into the world, but they did not receive him. There was no room. The Creator was not honored at his coming. How about us? How will we respond? Well, I have one more preparing room, and that is wrapped in swaddling clothes. Because praise God, into a cold world of rejection, some were ready. Mary and Joseph received Jesus with joy, believing the promise of the angel Gabriel. They wrapped the infant Lord in swaddling clothes that they had prepared for his arrival. The shepherds were startled by the angel choirs, but they rushed off to worship the Lord laying in a manger and spread the tidings of great joy. And you and me, how about us this Christmas? Christ has come. Are we willing to make room for him? Room for him around our tables, that a stranger may join us, one that was pushed aside by the world? Are we willing to make room in our lives to look and see the hurting, the desperate, the destitute, without judgment, but to enter into their brokenness? As we welcome the least of these, we are welcoming Christ. Friends, even in the busyness of celebration, may we make room for Jesus in our lives. May we spend time with the one whose birth we celebrate. May we have space to see the world through new eyes. And let us not miss out the joy that that birth brings. For anyone who would like to open the door of your hearts to invite Jesus to be your Lord, your Master, your Savior, know that God offers you this Christmas a gift of salvation, the gift of new life. Are you willing to open up your heart and believe and receive him? Any one of us here would love to pray with you and talk further. That last number that the bell choir played was Prepare in Room, and it's probably a carol you were not familiar with. It's by Rebecca Elliott and Dave Foreigner, and they put a copy, the director put a copy of the lyrics on my desk, and they were up on the screen earlier tonight. But I want to just conclude with those words, because they picked that song because it ties in so well to this message. The last verse said this, says, "Oh, our hearts as busy as Bethlehem, hear him knock. Don't say there is no room in the inn. Through the cradle, cross, and grave, see the love of God displayed. Now he's risen and he reigns. Praise the name above all names. Prepare him room. Prepare him room. Let the King of glory enter in. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you came to this world, and in many ways you caught us off guard. We were not expecting you, and many rejected you. But Lord, we are here because we want to believe, we do believe, that you are the Messiah, the one who came to set us free from sin and judgment and to receive us as your dear children. Lord, may our hearts always be open to you, to see you in the faces of the poor, to care for others the way that we would care for you. For Lord, you have said that it's by our love that they'll know we are Christians. So may we not be flagging in our zeal to show that love this Christmas time. And Lord, we thank you that no matter what, you are preparing room for us in your kingdom, in your Father's house, and we eagerly look forward to that reception. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.